making it gets exhausting. Here, we keep it real.
Hey guys, what's good? Hope y'all are doing well, having a wonderful week as always, and of course, keeping your health a top priority mentally and physically. For those of you who don't know me, I'm your host, Kinsley Meeks, wellness entrepreneur, fitness coach, bikini bodybuilder, and digital creator, here to inspire you to live boldly and unlock your highest physical and mental potential. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to listen to or to watch today's show. This episode is a look into just a few very uncomfortable situations that I've had over the past couple of months. Kind of funny, kind of strange, but also very real, with a valuable lesson that I learned from each one. On today's show, I'm bringing you the truth about navigating situations that make you feel anxious, that make you feel out of place, emotionally drained, or just straight up awkward, okay? Let's be real. Sometimes life, again, it can just be pretty uncomfortable, right? I want you guys to just kind of sit back and reflect with me for a moment. Think about a time in your life where you just kind of thought to yourself like, man, I feel very uncomfortable in the position that I'm in right now. Like, this situation is just not what I signed up for. You know what I mean? We've all been there, okay? But uncomfortable situations are oftentimes where confidence truly is built. And apparently, my confidence had to be built in a raunchy Miami nightclub, an Uber where the driver straight up peed himself mid-ride, and a sketchy car dealership where some dude called me sweetheart at least 4 times before trying to scam me. Growth, it's definitely not always glamorous, but it's usually kind of funny and it's always worth it, right? So first, let's just talk about my experience at LIV, a very popular nightclub here in Miami. It was a night that ended up leading to just a very uncomfortable feeling, to say the least. That's the word of the day. So this was on New Year's Eve of last year, so like 8 to 9 months ago. And I'm usually not the type to go out much, okay? I like going out if it's for like a celebration or a special occasion, you know, but usually I'm kind of just in my house. Like, I just be chilling. I be doing my work, minding my business. That's kind of me. But on this New Year's night, of course, like, I want to turn up a little bit. The goal is to get my 2025 started off right. And I'm not about to be just sitting here in Miami alone when it's a city that's very vibrant and there's always a lot to do. So a few of my friends had invited me to go to this nightclub. Again, it's called LIV. And there was a very like popular artist performing that night. His name is Central C. For those of you who don't know, this is like a rap artist. He's really big. I am into like rap and hip hop artists pretty well, but I will say this is someone that I wasn't familiar with. But still, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna have a good time with my friends. So like, let's make this a good time, okay? But if you've never been to LIV, I just have to give you a visual. Imagine an extremely overcrowded nightclub with neon lights flashing everywhere. The music is so loud that you can easily forget your own name. And I would say at least 80% of the crowd is either blackout drunk or like trying to get discovered by Quavo. Okay. So personally for me, it's just not a vibe. It's a survival test in heels, to be real. Okay. But you know, it's my first time going out to a big club like this. So again, I'm not really a club girl, but I was hoping to have a good time. You know, I love to go out and dance. I love to be around good people. I love music. And again, I love hanging out with my friends at the end of the day. So we're not going to be sitting home alone. So overall, I would say expectations before I got to this club, you know, they're moderately high. They're up there. I'm thinking we're going to have a good time, right? So I'm getting ready to go and I'm wearing this kind of tight gold beaded dress. I'm wearing these tall like stiletto heels that I had ordered. And you know, I will be honest, that dress was literally so tight that the only thing more snatched than my waist was my ability to breathe. Okay, that was me. And I was looking kind of fine for real. I can't even lie. But y'all, I do not like dressing like this. I'm more of like a gym fit type of girl. Like, give me baggy pants, give me a crop top, give me like my Air Force Ones, my sneakers, and I'm good to go. So pretty much right off of the bat, I'm feeling uncomfortable and I'm just ready to get back into my baggy pants. But you know, it's like 11 p.m. We start to go out. And I will say also, like 11 p.m., the start of going out, when I've been up since like 5 in the morning, like y'all, my ass is already tired. Okay. I get up early, I work long hours. And again, I'm just kind of trying to chill at the house for the most part, but it's a special occasion and you guys get the point. So my friends and I all meet up a little bit before midnight on this night. We hop in an Uber together and we head to Liv. And of course, Miami traffic is crazy, especially on, again, like this New Year's night. But we finally get to the club, we make it there, and we hop out of the car. So Liv is in this like luxury hotel in Miami Beach. So to even get into the actual nightclub itself, you have to go through like a couple bars, you have to go through security guards, different venues, that type of thing. Luckily, we didn't have to wait for long once we got there because my friends had the hookup. So we didn't have to pay. We didn't have to wait in line. We walked straight through security and, you know, we found our spot in the club. I would say if you don't have connections on that night, you'd probably be spending at least $250 to even get in the door and wait in line for like 2 hours. So again, like, shout out to my friends for giving us the hookup. But, you know, immediately we step inside this club and my brain is just automatically on overload. Like my brain is like, Kinsley, please, like, no, please take us back to the house. First off, let's talk about the sound. I mean, the bass is so strong that it's practically rearranging your organs. Like even your spleen is like jumping, it's vibing. Okay. Next to that is visual overload. So y'all know I like to tumble, right? I do a lot of backflips and I swear those lights were going crazy. They were hitting backflips. There's lasers, there's strobes, there's LED lights, literally everywhere. And then again, bring it back to your brain. The cognitive overload was just overpowering. It was like my brain had entered emergency rave mode. Like so many people in the crowd, bottle girls walking around with sparklers, LED lights, and like a $2,000 bottle of vodka, pretty much. I'm trying to talk to my friends, but honestly, I can't even hear what they're saying, and I can't even process my own thoughts. So once we get indoors, my friends and I decided to go chill at a table in the back for just a few minutes while we kind of waited to hopefully catch a vibe, which honestly I never caught, and waited for the artist Central C to come on. So I'm at this table and I'm looking around me and my friends are super cool, but the people around us just doing the absolute most. Like there's these girls beside us screaming and dancing on the tables and like, look, I get it. Like have a good time. I'm not one to judge, but I'm just like, man, this is just not for me. So at this point, you know, my overhydrated self decides I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'm going to go ahead and just take a break from this scene, go to the bathroom and then come back. So my friends had offered to go with me and I'm like, no, like, it's cool. You guys stay here, you know, enjoy the music. I'll be back in, you know, 5 minutes or whatever. First off, as I'm even walking to the bathroom, it's like Journey to the Center of the Earth, but in a club setting. Okay. So I'm not feeling good. I'm just feeling uncomfortable, slightly anxious, and just, again, not vibing at all. As I'm walking to the bathroom, I had at least three guys start to hit on me in a way that I don't like, in a way that I don't find attractive. Like if you're catcalling a girl, how you think that's going to make them attracted to you? So one guy is literally like trying to touch all up on me, like, sir, please back off. Okay. The other guy is talking to me about how I'm the finest girl in the club and like he just wants to see what this body can do. Like, thank you for the TED talk, but my body will not be moving anywhere close to you. Okay. And then the other guy is just kind of like, damn, mommy, like you work out or something. And I'm like, first off, who are you calling mommy? And secondly, do you know I am a national level bikini bodybuilder? So like, I finally make it to the bathroom after this sort of traumatic experience. And it's just reeking of Victoria's Secret perfume. And I'm just trying to mind my own business. You know, I'm not trying to eavesdrop on anyone's conversation. But there was a conversation that stood out that I just heard and really wish that I wouldn't have. So as I'm walking out of the stall, there is this girl, and I am not exaggerating, full on screaming at another female, like literally yelling, you bitch, like, did you even notice you ran into me? Like you almost ruined my Rolex. And I'm like, wow, okay, like that Rolex got more protection than some people's feelings, like priorities, right? At this point, I would love to just go back to my friends and be at that little table. So I walk out of the bathroom and I'm trying to make it back to my friends. But y'all, at this point, I got lost, like for real. again, the music is blaring. There's strobe lights everywhere. It's a journey to the bathroom. And I'm like, man, where am I? So I just kind of stop for a second and I take a look around and I start to feel just this like overwhelming sensation run through my veins. And I'm overwhelmed with anxiety. And I just kind of had a deep realization of like, yeah, I don't want to be here anymore. Like, I'm not having a good time. I'm not comfortable. I'm anxious and I'm ready to go. It's like I just had a personal reflection. I feel out of place because this scene just is not for me. And listen, like, that's totally okay. So what did I do? I walked outside of that club, like, goodbye. I called an Uber and I dipped, okay? I texted my friends, like, y'all have a good time. Please be safe. You guys let me know if you need anything. But I was out, okay? Best decision that I could have made that night. Because there is a big difference in stepping outside of your comfort zone versus just forcing yourself to be in a place or be in a situation that just doesn't feel right to you. So why do I share this club story? Because the lesson I learned is this. You don't have to love what everyone else loves. You're not boring if you value peace over party. Everyone's version of a good time or a party is different, and that's okay. For me personally, I want to dance, but I also want to have room to breathe. I want to wear my Air Force Ones and I want to be around good people with good energy who are not trying to grab all up on me every 3 seconds. So the way I deal with uncomfortable situations when it comes to the situation just being physically outside of my element, when a scene is just making me feel anxious, but in a negative way, I dip, I leave. You should not feel pressured to fit in or be someone that you're not. At the end of the day, choosing to take yourself out of these situations will only improve your confidence and your ability to be yourself. All right, so let's move into story number two. And the next one I want to tell y'all was just plain odd. Like, this was just a weird day, a weird night. I swear, with Miami, you really never know what you're going to get. You never know who you're going to run into or what situation's going to happen. You just got to be ready at any time, especially when it comes to ride shares, okay? So a couple of months ago, I'm headed back from the Fort Lauderdale Airport, which is about a 45-minute to an hour drive away from where I live here in the city, depending on how traffic looks. So I was coming back from visiting my family and it was pretty late at night. I would say like 10 p.m. But again, you guys know I get up early. So I'm kind of tired and I'm kind of in my feelings because I miss my family and coming back from a trip back home. Although I don't want to be there, it makes me miss my family even more. So I hop in this Uber and immediately I can just tell with this Uber driver, like something's just kind of off. Okay. I'm not one to judge people at all. Everyone goes through hard times and different seasons, and I totally get it. Everybody's different, but I am very observant and I always keep my guard up. Being a 24-year-old female in Miami, like, you just kind of have to. So as soon as I get into the Uber, this man starts immediately dumping all of his trauma onto me, just like instantly telling me about his life, the highs, the lows, the plot twists. And I'm just sitting there nodding like, wow, like, that's crazy, you know? I'm trying to be kind, though. It's a long ride. Maybe he just needs someone to talk to. And like, that's cool with me. And I'm happy to listen. But the Uber driver tells me we need to stop and get gas. So I'm like, okay, like, I wish you would have fueled up earlier before you picked me up. But don't worry, like, let's go ahead and get the gas. Please, like, just make it quick. And we'll get the gas and go home. So we pulled up to this 7-Eleven on the way back home. And I wanted to go inside and grab a water while we were there. Of course, again, we on that fitness, we on that hydration, gotta get some H2O. So we both get out of the car and just kind of look at each other. And as I look at my driver, that's when I see it. Okay, his pants are soaked. Like, all in the crotch area. I'm talking full splash zone. I'm talking like Splash Mountain. I'm talking like those little water parks you used to go to as a kid. And before I can even process or pretend that I didn't notice, this man just confesses on the spot. He was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I really had to go. I just really needed to let it all out. And y'all, I was just thinking in my head, like, Man, this is just really weird and just a really uncomfortable experience in this Uber that I just didn't really see coming. Just imagine just pure awkwardness. And again, just like outright, like this is odd. Okay. At this point, though, I'm like, damn, like this is kind of embarrassing for him. And maybe he's been through some trauma. Like he's telling me all this stuff about his life and I don't want to make the situation any worse. So my reaction, I just look back at this driver and I'm like, hey, man, like, no worries. Like, I get it. Like, I drink a lot of water, too. And, you know, we all got to go sometimes. So just like go inside, like do what you need to do. I'll be getting my water and I'll wait for you out here. So he's just like, all right, well, let me go inside and like clean myself up and then we'll get back on the road. Okay. And at this point, I'm just like, all right, rest in peace to my sleep and my peace of mind. Okay. I'm just praying that we make it home without any more plot twist. And we did. Okay. But the moral of the story is sometimes life just gets weird. Okay. Not every uncomfortable moment in life is life changing or is super deep. Sometimes it's just straight up strange. But here's the thing. Not every situation needs a dramatic reaction. Sometimes the best move is to just roll with it, to just keep your cool. And most situations are only awkward if you make them awkward. So my advice, next time life gets cringy or strange, and it will, just remember you set the tone. So stay cool, stay kind, and just keep the vibes up at all cost. On a side note, I'm sure some of you guys out there listening have some pretty strange rideshare stories. Feel free to send me those crazy stories through Instagram DM at @YoItsKenslow. That's at @YoItsKenslow or at Curls and Courage Podcast. I'd love to hear you guys' stories. All right. So last little story time that I want to get into today is all about a situation that was more emotionally confronting. I feel like so many people struggle with confrontation. And believe me, I totally get it. Totally used to be me. I was on that doormat energy from a young age. Okay. So I remember even like one time, just to give you guys a little bit more insight on how I used to be. I used to go to Panera Bread. It was like a bagel place. They have some healthier foods and stuff there too. But we would go there a lot of times when I was getting breakfast before school. This is when I was in like grade school. And so I remember there was this one time that the employee had burnt my blueberry bagel, right? And I'm talking like the bagel was straight black, not even crispy. Like that thing literally could have passed for like, I don't know, charcoal or something. And so I take the bagel outside. And again, like I can't drive it this time. I like show it to my mom. I'm like, mom, this is like really burnt. Like I really don't want to eat it. And she's like, yeah, you're right. It is burnt. Go ahead and go back inside and like ask them politely to make you a new one. And I'm like, no, mom, like, please don't make me go back in there. Like I'm literally on the verge of tears. I'm not exaggerating. Like, I'm so sad. I'm like, I just can't do it. Mom, can you go back in there? I can't talk to them. And like, I'm begging her not to make me. And she's like, no, get back in there. And eventually I did. But anyways, just to tell you guys, that used to be me. And if that's you right now, if you like to avoid confrontation at all costs, don't worry. It is possible to change. You can learn how to handle uncomfortable situations and emotionally confronting situations with confidence. Again, that's what this episode is all about. So this is something that I've been able to change about myself for sure. And now, honestly, I don't mind confrontation at all. Like, I got to make sure that I'm keeping it real with myself and I got to make sure that I'm keeping it real with my people at the end of the day. So a couple of months ago, I was in the process of looking for a new car, right? This is the beginning of the last story. I talked about this in some of my past Curls and Courage episodes, but for those of you who don't know me, like it's just been a lot with me with different car situations. Like I swear when it comes to cars and driving, it's just things just don't seem to work out my way a lot of times. So many different car situations, many different traumatic experiences, but the car saga for me continued about 3 months ago when I was in the process of getting the car that I have now. So in this time period, at first, I knew like nothing about cars. I didn't know what type of car I wanted, like what I was looking for, what not to look for. I didn't really have a good understanding of price ranges when it came to cars. But baby, let me tell you, now just call me a car enthusiast. I swear, I'm low-key like trying to learn how to drive the car that I have now, like a race car. Like I'm looking at all these different events in Miami, like that type of thing. But again, I didn't know this at first. I had to learn. I had to do my extensive research. So my experience with Miami car dealerships in this past couple of months has been super stressful and very emotionally draining. Every dealership I went to was an experience, to say the least. But there was this one dealership that really stood out to me. So one Friday afternoon, I decided to drive my rental car out to a dealership in North Miami because at the time I had totaled my car. I again mentioned that on one of my past Curls and Courage episodes. You guys got to check that one out. Was not a good time. But anyway, so I'm in this rental car. I'm driving about an hour from where I currently live. And I was interested in like a small black, like kind of sports car. It was a Mazda that I'd seen on the dealership's website. So I drive my little hour, you know, I'm listening to my music. I'm in this nice little rental car. It was like a brand new Toyota, I believe. I had the windows down. I'm like having a good time. I pull up to the dealership. I hop out of my rental and immediately I'm being treated like royalty. Like the sales guys are offering me water as I step in, offering me coffee, offering me diet soda. They're like, hey, sweetheart, like, how can we help you today? You let us know if you need anything, sweetie. I'm going to have our best guys take care of you today, sweetheart, and make sure that we have the best deal for you, the best car for you. This experience is going to be so perfect. Like, first off, I'm not your sweetheart. And secondly, I actually may not be leaving with a car at all today. Like I'm just browsing. I'm just exploring my options. And I have several other dealerships that I'm going to go to on this specific day. At the time, I was actually heavily debating between this Mazda that I was looking at and this like really cool yellow Camaro that I had seen at another dealership closer to my house. Plan was to look at this Mazda and then go look at the Camaro, and then from there, make a decision and come back and get, you know, either one of the cars. I just wanted to get a good feel for both. You know, you gotta test what you're signing up for before you buy, right? So ended up getting neither of those cars. And I'm very happy that I did not get either one of them. But anyways, my first car salesman when I'm at this dealership, he was actually pretty cool. You know, the guy seemed pretty genuine. He seemed pretty honest and actually just seemed pretty funny as well, which if you can make me laugh, that's always an extra point in my book. So this guy is showing me around just for the sake of the story today. We'll call this guy Corey. So he's the first car salesman. So Corey and I ended up looking at several different Mazdas. You know, he's telling me all about the make, the model, the design, you know, kind of what to look for in a car, how it drives. We're test driving them. And we ended up finding one that I was actually very interested in. It wasn't the one that I had seen on the website, but it was one that was just a whole lot better to me. It was like a coupe. It was nice. Again, it was black. It was just cool little car. So we decided to take it to the next level. And what I mean by that is I knew the car that I had potentially wanted to get. So we needed to go back inside the dealership. We needed to sit down. We needed to run some numbers and kind of go over the procedure as if I were buying this car. That was the next step. So for this part of the process, Corey tells me like, hey, this is kind of outside my scope. I need to go talk to my boss or my big guy or whatever. And we'll just call this guy Joe. So again, Corey's my first car salesman. Joe is the big boss. And to be honest with y'all, even from the start, when I first met Joe, like when we took a seat, I just knew Joe and I were going to have a problem. So Joe and I sit down. And of course, just like when I first walked into this dealership, Joe starts calling me sweetheart. And I'm like, sir, my name is Kinsley. And you saying sweetheart for the fifth time now does not make me trust you anymore. So Joe is just coming in way too strong overall. He's telling me this Mazda is a once in a lifetime deal and that the Camaro is a waste of money and a waste of my time. And he's telling me that I clearly don't understand the car industry. And I'm just sitting there like, okay, so now I'm cute and I'm clueless. Like, that's very bold of you, Joe. And so this is the thing. I'm not a pushover. And I don't let anyone pressure me into buying something or into doing something that I don't want to do or buying something that I'm not ready for. So I start negotiating hard when it comes to this Mazda. I'm trying to get that price down. I'm trying to get the best deal possible at the end of the day. Again, I had done my research, so I was trying to act like I knew the most about cars, which again, I did know more than I would say the average person at this point. So we go back and forth for like 30 minutes debating the prices, debating whether or not I like this car and if I'm going to get it. And Joe finally hits me with this question. He says, "What do I have to do for you right now in order for you to get this Mazda and not even go look at that yellow Camaro today?" So I look at him and go, "I need to go outside and call my assistant," which obviously I did not have an assistant. I just kind of needed to go outside and like take a moment to breathe and think. So Joe is literally following me to the door as I'm just trying to have a conversation with my fake assistant on the phone. And he's like, "Who are you calling? And like, what do they know?" And I'm like, "Sir, what you don't know is I just need to escape this emotionally draining hostage negotiation that you call sales, okay?" This whole encounter with Joe from the start just made me feel super just not at ease, okay? And honestly, I was feeling kind of disrespected as well. So after I took a moment to breathe and kind of get my thoughts together outside, I came back into that dealership, you know, all fired up. I came back with a clear answer. So I just look at Joe dead in the eye and I say, "Look, Joe, there is nothing you can say or do today that is going to stop me from going to the other dealership and looking at that Camaro. Give me your best offer. Give me a call once you have it and goodbye." And Joe's like, "Well, we might not be able to offer this same deal later. Like, I think you really need to rethink this before you walk out the door." I'm literally halfway out the door at this point. And I'm saying, "Yeah, I rethought it and I'm still leaving." So like I was spitting back at this guy. I can't even lie. Like even later, Corey, the other sales guy, was texting me and saying like, "Damn, I would not have even talked to Joe like that. Like, good job. Like, strong female, like great empowerment. Reason he had my number is because I told y'all Corey was kind of cool. I gave it to him at the dealership. You know, we were maybe going to ride some motorcycles and I ended up leaving my ID. So I actually needed to get it back from him, whatever. None of that ever happened. But like I said, Corey, you know, he has my respect." So the dealership could have easily ended with me folding under pressure and driving home in a car that I didn't want. But I didn't, because I've learned confrontation is uncomfortable, but avoiding it often leads to decisions that you regret. Although I felt very uncomfortable, I chose to stay calm and navigate the emotional confrontation in just the best way that I could. So when you feel disrespected, when you feel dismissed or pushed into something that just doesn't align with you or align with your values, just take a moment to pause, to breathe, and then just to stand your ground. This day, I took a lot from that 3-hour experience. You have to stand on your ground and trust your instincts during high pressure situations. In life, we constantly deal with confrontation and it is draining, but you can't just avoid it altogether and again, make a decision that just isn't best for you because the pressure is high and the situation isn't what you want. At the end of the day, standing up for yourself and having these tough conversations and encounters only makes you stronger and only improves your confidence. So yeah, handling uncomfortable situations, it's a skill for real. But just like any other skill, it gets easier over time if you practice it. And unfortunately, I practice it way too often. So whether it's physically being outside of your element, like in a packed nightclub on New Year's Eve, like, "Someone please transport me back to the gym," or whether you're navigating a weird, unexpected moment, like an Uber driver who just couldn't hold it any longer. Like, man, it's cool. It do be like that sometimes. Or standing your ground in an emotionally confronting sales negotiation with a pushy car dealer who keeps calling you sweetheart like it's your legal name. Like, "Sir, again, please just calm down." Each of these situations taught me something about myself. And I hope that they remind you, no matter what type of discomfort you're facing, it's always best to respond with confidence and calmness. You know, the more you lean into those uncomfortable moments, the stronger that you get. And y'all already know we all about that resilience, baby. So that's pretty much what I have for you guys on today's show. But as always, I want to end the show with a question from a listener. Always a segment I like to do here on Curls and Courage. If you do have a question that you'd like to send in, the best way to do that is through those Instagram accounts that I mentioned earlier at Yo It's Kinslow or at Curls and Courage Podcast on IG. You can also follow those accounts to see more updates on the podcast, on me, on my life. I try to keep pushing out the content as best as I can. So here's today's question. Are you currently tracking macros? If so, what does your split look like right now? Just curious to know. Okay, so for sure, obviously being a fitness coach and a bikini bodybuilder, my nutrition is pretty much always on point. I do have a pretty structured meal plan at the moment. In the off season, I coach myself. So again, right now I'm not competing, but I always live the lifestyle. So I pretty much eat the same thing for the most part every single day. Try to add some variety in there. I think that's really important just to keep your, first off, just like mental health well. You don't want to have any nutrient deficiencies. So, you know, I'll switch up the carb source here every once in a while. I'll switch up the protein source, but it's always clean whole foods. So currently right now on the days that I am weight training, I have 130 grams of protein, 70 grams of fat, and about 180 grams of carbs. On the days that I am not training or not lifting weights, I'll do still 130 protein. I'll increase my fats to about 85 grams and then I'll drop my carbs to about 115. So you don't need as many carbohydrates on the days that you're not training and the healthier fats. First off, I like making sure as a female that I have a good bit of healthy fats is something I didn't do as much in my past. And it's really great for hormone production and overall just mood and health and just so many different things in that region. So that's what I like to do is increase the fats a little bit and drop the carbs. I have one cheat meal every single week. I'm not the type to really be a foodie. So my cheat meal is honestly pretty clean as well, but it might just be me going out to dinner with a friend or having like a nice little Mediterranean dish, something like that. I will say one thing I do with my meal plan that I didn't do more in the past is I will listen to my body. And what I mean by that is on a day where I may be feeling like extra sick and I'm not having a lot of time or I'm not getting as much movement in, maybe I won't, you know, quite reach that calorie range. Or on a day where I know I'm going to be boxing and running and lifting and running around and training clients all on the same day, maybe 180 grams of carbs and that amount of calories is not enough on that day, then I'll try to push the food a little bit harder. So I do try to listen to my body, but for the most part, that's what I'm currently doing. And I do stay very consistent when it comes to following a structured meal plan. So that's that. But also I will say, you know, when it comes to creating a meal plan, everyone's body is totally different. So just because I'm doing one thing or your favorite wellness influencer is doing one thing or the most professional bodybuilder, some girl you think looks amazing is doing one thing, just because you follow that exact protocol does not mean that you're going to look the same way and does not mean you're going to feel the same way. And just wanted to make that very clear. But if you do need help with your nutrition, if you need a new macro breakdown, I am a nutrition coach, obviously a fitness coach as well. So if you need help with that, I am more than happy to give you that assist. We can set up a consultation, talk goals, see how I can help you best. The best way to reach me for training and nutrition coaching would be to shoot me an email at kensleymeeksfit@gmail.com. That's kensleymeeksfit@gmail.com to set up a consult and get started. So yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. Definitely let me know what you'd like to listen to next. If you did like the show, if it brought you some inspo, made you smile, please be sure to rate and review the show wherever you're listening now. Show's available obviously on all major podcast platforms. So all you got to do is rate the show, review the show, let me know what you like, what you didn't like. And then also encourage you guys to follow the YouTube channel at Kinsley Meeks. Video content should be coming soon. Catch the podcast every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time on the radio. That's WDJY 99.1 FM radio. I will leave that link in the show notes. And until then, until next time, you guys stay blessed, stay bold, and be comfortable with that uncomfortable feeling. Okay. I will talk to y'all next Thursday. Appreciate y'all. Bye.